Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Zvachem Kuf Yud Beis. We begin 11 lines from the top of the Amud. So it's back to the Mishnah, which teaches us that the halacha of mala b'chutz, the isra to offer material outside the Beis HaMikdash, only pertains to material which is suitable for the inside. So, for instance, if he has two containers of dam, of the carbon, and one becomes unsuitable, he had already applied the blood of this container in the Beis HaMikdash, rendering the other one as a dochi, rejected, unsuitable. So now if he proceeds and does it outside, he is potter. Likewise, the Mishnah says, it's comparable, it's analogous to a case of a double chatas. Lema devardoim. Lema avrish chatas avi avda. So here he goes, putting aside a karmel chatas. And, oops, it goes missing. V'hivish acheres tachteo, and he designates another one in its stead. And then, v'achakach, he finds the first one. He has two available. V'nimsas harishayna. So if he's makriv one inside, the other one is unsuitable and becomes rejected. And likewise, if he does that krov and that one outside, he is pater. So these two scenarios are in a way comparable, both dealing with a double carbon, phenomenon. Here it's two containers of blood, here it's two animals, four chatas, and as soon as one becomes dachi, right, so that one becomes unsuitable and there's no liability if it's offered outside. Now, what's the point of the Mishnah comparing this case to that? What's the lesson embedded in this comparison? What's the point of making this comparison? Hamani Rebbe, the point of the Mishnah is to highlight that this halach, this scenario regarding the double carbon chatas, is in line with Shitas Rebbe. Damaru says, Avudu b'shas hafrosha mesa. So if the first animal got lost, Avuda, decides to be mafresh, designates another one, and the first one had been still in a state of Avuda, was still lost, when he was mafresh number two, mesa, the halacha is, the first one is glad to die. In which case, if he's now makrev that one outside, he's potter, because it's unsuitable. And the point of the Mishnah is to highlight that only in this case is he exempt, because, as we said, it's unsuitable. Vachi Kamar, the Mishnah means to say like this. Time with the Avda. That's true only because one went missing while the other one had been. However, in a case where he decided to designate two animals, just in case, right? Lachrai, just in case one gets lost, we'll have the other one. So in this case, no rejection. Nothing went missing. Nothing went lost. In this case, from the get-go, initially, one of them was going to be an oila. That's the aloha. If it's extra, it goes to the oila department, right? Actually, preferably they let it wander and get a blemish, and then it's converted, into funds used to buy an oila. Ultimately, its destination is oila, right? So it's not considered rejected, even if he chooses to be makriv this one over this one. Mikara oilahi. So in this case, if he were to take this extra animal and do it outside, he is chayiv, because it has a proper destiny. It's meant to be used as a carbon, although not for chatas. Rather, it's meant to be converted into an oila. Ugad Rav Huna Amar Rav, Damar Rav Huna Amar Rav, as he tells us, Asham. So he's talking about an Asham, which likewise was unneeded for some reason. The Bezdin instructs the owner, go take it out to the pasture, let it get a blemish, right? Convert it into an oila. Says Rav, you should know, although preferably he meant to go through those steps and not actually remark of this as an oila. But if he decides to take this extra asham, asham shanita, which was detached, so to speak, sent away l'ri'ah for pasturing, v'shachti stam, he proceeded, he did shchita without having anything specific in mind, not for asham, not for oila. What is the default status of this animal, kosher lo'ila, is considered an oila, because ultimately that's its destiny. Likewise, says the Gemara, by the extra carbon chatas. Where initially there were two, there was an extra one. Ultimately, the extra one was destined to be an oila, or can be converted into an oila. In this case, it's considered ro'il bifnim. It is suitable for Beis HaMikdash purposes, in which case, if it's done outside, it carries the full consequence of Shaychet U'mal HaBachutz. Ask the Gemara, one second. You're comparing an extra chatas, which is in a keva, which can't actually be used as an oila, to the keva. An oila can't be in a keva. You're comparing it to the case of Rav, the extra asham, which is a zachar to begin with, a male animal, which can be used for an oila. So of course, it has that, you know, potential within it, and it's kosher for oila. But here, what's the connection between a female extra, you know, animal for the chata to the carbon oila? Midami hasam asham zachar. There is an extra asham zachar. Certainly, if you shecht it, it has a status of an oila, of oila zachar, because oila too is a zachar. Aval chatas nekeve, but here it's an extra carbon chatas, which is in a keva. What's the connection between that and an oila? Amar b'chia from the town of Yustinia, he answers like this. Here too, the extra chatas is a male and suitable as an oila, and therefore if it's done outside, he's chat. Visar nasi, the goat that a nasi brings as his carbon chatas, and if he was my first two, he has one extra. Does it outside, he's chat, because technically that can turn into an oila. And it's meant to be directed to the oila destination. So bottom line is like this. If something's unsuitable, so of course, there's no liability for Sheikh Adam al-Bachot. But if something is suitable in some way, like the extra chatas, the extra asha, which ultimately is meant to fill in as an oila, in some what way, directly, indirectly, if he does it outside his chayv, says the Mishnah, in line with this concept that the halacha of Sheikh Adam al-Bachot applies strictly to material, to karbanis, which are suitable for Beis HaMikdash processing, but something which is possible, you know, as a blemish, anyways, unsuitable, in which case it's not considered the ro'i lepesach ha'il moed, it's not considered lefnei mishkanash, it's not considered for as a proper carbon, in which case there's no liability if he does it outside. Here comes some examples. Paras chatos, right? The paraduma, which is called paras chatos. Shesar for chus migita, it's meant to be burnt in the harazesim in a, like a little indentation or gas, like a little gas typically refers to a wine press or an olive press. Actually says it just means a mokim amok, like this little, you know, deep area. So he did it outside that area. It's meant to be done in this crevice, and he did it outside, wrong place. Is he chayef for doing something outside of its? Likewise, the sar which is sent off the mountain, Ayam Kippur, Sheikr v'chutz, and he offered it, you know, outside the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon. In both cases, he's potter, shenamar, because these things are not really meant to be processed inside the Beis HaMikdash. Paraduma is meant to be done outside. Likewise, sar m'shtalech. So even if it's done in the wrong way, right, he's potter, shenamar, vel pesach, oyel moed loy, hey v'yoy. Why is he liable? Because he failed to bring it. Why is Sheikh Tumal Bachutz Chayy? Because instead of doing it inside, he did it outside. And we learn, and that's only because it was meant for the inside, as opposed to these two examples, which in any case is never meant for the Beis HaMikdash per se, rather meant to be processed outside. So there's no liability. It's only not meant for the Pesach HaMikdash. No chiv. Here come many more examples of deficient and failed and faulty karbonis, Hareveah, the animal that interacted with him, human, Vanirba, was interacted with physically, Vamukta was designated for idol worship, Vanevada was worship, Vamechir was exchanged for a dove, Esna given to an immoral woman, Vakilayim, crossbreed, Vatrefa, right? As an internal womb, Vyaitzedaif, born unnatural, Shukib Machut, all these which are possible to be used as a carbon, is done outside these potter, Shnema, once again we have a pasuk, and of course the Gemara will ask, why new pasuk? Just included in the previous pasuk, because the underlying concept is the same. Shnamar al fnei mishkan Hashem, He should have brought it to the Pesach Ha'ilma, El Mishkan Hashem. And we learn, Kol She'en Roy Lavi Mishkan Hashem, only something which was meant for Mishkan Hashem. Otherwise, Ein Chayavan Alev. Balimumin, blemished animals as well, whether permanent blemishes, temporary blemishes. Bein Balimumin Kivuin, whether it's a permanent condition. Bein Balimumin, even or temporary conditions. In both cases, Shekibim B'chutz, if he did it outside his potter, because of the same point. Shimon Oimer. Now, Shimon's opinion throughout this whole subject is that even something which is currently unsuitable, but if it will be suitable in the future, it's ro'i for the future, has potential, such as a balmum, you know, oiver, which will clear up soon, and the animal will be ro'i for a carbon. If he does it outside, in its current state, although there's no kares, which is the typical, you know, consequence for malabachut, but there is a lab, special iser, which the Gemara will source for us, for all these situations where they still have potential to eventually be used in the Beis HaMikdash. If they're done outside, there's a law. Reb Shimon Omer, Balimumin, Kavuin, Potter. Yeah, if it's a permanent blemish done outside, he's Potter because it has no suitability anymore. Balimumin, Oivrim, if it's a temporary condition, Chayv, Leisase, is Oivr, Leisase. Another example of such is Terim, a certain type of bird, which is only kosher once they're mature. Shaloi Geazmana, but if it's yet too young. Or Uvneyain, a little sort of pigeons, which only suitable when they're young. Shavar Zmanan, who are past their time, too old. Both are unsuitable. Shekibim Machutz, if he did it outside his pot. Once again, Shimon disagrees regarding the second case, because it has potential suitability in the future. Shimon Oimer. Beneyayin, Shavar Zmanan, potter. Okay, the ones that are expired are potter, no longer potential. For inside, but Toyrim, however, Shaloigi Zman, before their suitable time has arrived. Beloisas say there's a loisas of doing them outside because they'll be ro'i in the future. Another example is Oisav Esbenoi. Okay, so he has the animal with its offspring. Okay, so the mother and the offspring. And the mother had been shechta that day, which forbids us to do the same to the offspring. And now he did it outside, the offspring. Umuchus Esmanu, another example is, you have an animal who's too young, before its time, or before the owner, right, is available to be makrivit, still tummy, whatever. So these karban is done outside. Again, they're unsuitable, and therefore he's pat. Shimon Oimer, here too, he says, I raise the beliefs as it is alive, because although they're not ro'i now, but they will in the future. Shad of Shimon Oimer, because he's in line with his opinion. Kol shu ro'i l'vachazman, an animal which is ro'i for later. Harei Zeh B'Leis HaSeh, if it's done outside now, there's a lav. But Vein Bekar is no kares. That's his opinion. V'chachamim Oimrim, they disagree. All or nothing. Kol Shein Bekar, there's no kares applicable. And B'Leis HaSeh, there's no Leis HaSeh either. Let's go back and clarify the case of Mechus Zman. Its time has not yet arrived. What does that mean? Bein Begufi, whether it's too early on account of the animal, it's too young. Right? Let's say, you know, it's too young, or it's a blemish, or etc. Right? Or it's still before, you know, the 7 days since birth. In any case, too young, too early. Bein Mibalov. Likewise, it can be too early on account of the owner. For example, Ezo Mechusav Zman Mibalov. What's an example of that? Hazav, Hazav, Eledes, etc. All these people who are tummy, not yet ready for the carbon, and one takes their carbon and does it outside, too early. Shekir b'chatas m'asham b'chod, they did their chatas m'asham outside, patur. These are meant as part of their purification process, which has not yet arrived. However, if one takes their oila or their shlamim, although ideally it should be part of their purification process, which is not yet relevant, but technically, they could be used as donation too. They can serve that purpose too. And therefore, in that context, they're deemed suitable. Oilo is saying, Ushlamen Bachot is Chayav. Now, what about materials which are not really meant for the Mizbeach at all, like the meat of a carbon? If he does them outside on a Mizbeach, is he Chayav? No, of course not. Hamalim, Psar Chatas, the meat of a Chatas, Psar Oshim, Psar Kashi Kochim, Psar Kochim Kalim, Moisar Oimim, leftovers of the Oimer Mincha. All these are meant for human consumption. Shtei alechem, lechem apam, shi'ar menachas, leftover mincha. If he offers them on a mizbeach outside, he's completely exempt. What about if he does, you know, we know shechita, zrika, mala b'chutz is chayv. What about if he does other types of functions, korban functions outside? Vayoytzik, he pours the oil on a mincha outside the Beis HaMikdash. Vapoyses, so he splits, you know, slices up the, cuts up the mincha into pieces. Vaboilel, mixes the mincha, maleach, and he salts the korban materials. Vamenef, or he waves, does tnufa outside. Vamagish, he makes contact with the material of the mincha to the corner of a mizbeach outside the Beis HaMikdash. Vamasad, there's a shulchan, or he sets up a table with the lechem aponim. Vamitav zaneres. Or he prepares, he cleans out the menorah. He does these all outside, right? Or collects the blood of a carbon. All these were done outside b'chutz. He's potter because the chiyuv for b'chutz is limited to shaychet, to zorek, and to mal. Likewise, all these activities that we just mentioned have another leniency to them, so to speak. Typically, if a non-kohen, a zar, performs avoida in the basic mitzvah, she's chayv misa. Likewise, if he's tameh, or if he's missing begadim, bigdei kohuna, or he failed to rinse his hands and feet in preparation, provided it's a bona fide service, certain types, complete services, it's called avoida smatana, avoida tama, complete, that end the process, that complete the process, culminating services. But these that we just mentioned do not fit the bill, and therefore ve'en chayav nalav le'mishem zaros. If a zar performs all these, he's not chayav le'mishem tum, or if he's tamik le'mishem chazor, that begadim are missing, you know, big day kuhuna, or le'mishem there's no liability on account of shalei ruchutz, not having washed yadayim regla. Now we spoke about different, you know, eras in history when sometimes it was permissible to be makriv a carbon in your own private, you know, altar in your backyard. Sometimes it was not permissible. So it sort of went, it swung back and forth depending on what was going on a national level. Actually, so before the Mishkan had been erected, you were free to do anything. The bamis were perfectly fine. In fact, it wasn't even a kayan requirement. A bechir, a firstborn in the family, he would do the avoid. That was until the Mishkan was built. After the Mishkan was put up, things changed drastically. Out went the Bechorim, in came the Kohanim, out went the Bamis, in came to the Mishkan, Nesra Bamis, the Bamis became offline. From now on, the service was performed by Kohanim only. And in fact, it was territorial. You had to do it inside the Mishkan, and, you know, Kachik Adashim, so the highest form of carbonates were consumed only inside the Mishkan, Nechalim Lufnim Nechalim, inside the curtains, inside the courtyard. Kachim Kam, the next level, lower level carbonates, B'chol Machane Yisrael, throughout the encampment of our nation. That was until they came to a place called Gilgal in Eretz Yisrael. Bo'ol Gilgal, things changed again. Huchu Abomis, the Bomis came online again. Kachik Kadoshim Nechalim Lufnim Nechalim, but the Kadoshim, the Kachik Kadoshim had to be eaten in the Gilgal area, in the curtains there. Kachim Kalim b'chol makim, but like a shlamim, anywhere you want. It's interesting, Rashi points out that there was no Machne Yisrael because it was still busy, you know, capturing Eretz Yisrael, busy, you know, conquering. So there was no set encampment. So throughout Eretz Yisrael, throughout the entire Eretz Yisrael, you can have you kachim kala? Very interesting. Okay. Continues the b'chol makim. It sounds like throughout anywhere in the whole world, but presumably in Eretz Yisrael. Bo'ol shile. Okay. Next step was shile, where they actually had a mishkan of some sort for many, many years. Right, 369 years. Nesra Bamis. Okay, so red light on the Bamis. Now it's time to bring all your karbanis to the central Mishkan. But interestingly, it did not have a proper ceiling. There was no structural roof. It was a elabite base avonim b'vad. It was l'matan, had, you know, walls, stone walls, but it was covered with Vayiris milmalam, covered with the stuff like a curtain, a material covering. Vayiris milmalam, which were the same yiris used in the Mishkan and the Midbar, those coverings. Now this location, this phenomenon, this shiloi, this Mishkan shiloi was described in the pasuk as manucha. The pasuk says, "Ki levasem ad ato el hamanucha v'lanachlo." You haven't yet arrived at manucha and nachlo. So manucha was descriptive of shiloi, which was somewhat of a rest, meaning it was after they finished conquering, capturing, and dividing the land. This was the first stop of the of two stops, meaning eventually they got to the Nachla, the actual final resting place of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So again, the rules changed. Kachikachim nechalam flim and akleim. The kachikachim you have to eat inside the Mishkan confines. The kachim kalam masir sheni b'chol haraya. Now, what about the other korbanos? Kachim kalam masir sheni. You could eat it as long as you can still visually see. You can be visually in contact. Interesting. Being visually in contact is considered, you know, relating to the Mishkan. So that was the halacha for those korbanos. Bo l'noivin givayin. Next stop was noivin givayin, when the Shiloh was destroyed and the Aron was taken away by the time of Eli, right? So they came to Noiv and then to Givayim. Again, at that time, the Bamis were again permissible. Hujra Bamis, Kachim Kachim, Nechalim Flim, and Akleim. Now, if you want to bring Kachim Kalim, you have to come to the Mishkan of Noiv and Givayim. But Kachim Kalim, Bechal Yisrael, Yisrael, Shlamim, and all that, you can do whatever you want because you can do it at your Bama, at your convenience. Right. So Kachik Adashim, you could only bring to the big Bama in Noiv Givayim. But Kachim Kalim, since you could do it anywhere, you could also eat it anywhere. Mechol Yisrael throughout the cities of Yisrael throughout the land. And then finally they came to Yerushalayim, Bordur Yerushalayim. Nesra Bomis. Now the Bomis are Asr again, and that was it, final destination. You've arrived at your final destination. That was called Nachla, right? Lehoyel and Heter, that's it, the Heter of the Bomis were gone. Lehoyisa, Nachla, that was called Nachla. And all the halachas were activated, Kachikadashim, Nechalim, Flim, Naklaim. Once again, you can only bring Karbonis at the Beis HaMikdash, eat your Kachikadashim inside, and Kachim Kalam, Maser Sheni, in Yerushalayim, Flim, Naklaim. Now, what about Sheikh Domala, Bechutz? Right? So, in concept, it only applies when it's Asr to do so, when there is a Mishkan, there is a Beis HaMikdash, which forbids offering your Karbanis elsewhere. Okay? So, how did this work? Said the Mishnah. Kol HaKadosh. Shekdish Mishai Isra Bomis. So, during the time of Isra Bomis, he was Magdash HaKar. Right? So, for example, right, as we explained briefly, went back and forth, right? In the time of pre-Mishkan, Bamas were Mutter. When Mishkan came, Bamas became us. Then, when they came to Israel, they came to Gilgal, Bamas were Mutter again. Shiloh, Bamas became us. Noiv HaGivayim, they became Mutter. Yerushalayim became us, right? So if you magdish a carbon, designated a carbon, when the Bamas were us, Shas Yisrael, and takes it outside when the Bamas is still Asr. This is the ultimate Isr that we speak about, you know, in the last couple of weeks. Harei Elu Be'asei, V'lois Asei, V'chayav Nolav Kareis. He's commanded to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. There is a negative commandment against not bringing it. And there's Kareis. This is the ultimate violation of the Isr, because it had been meant for the Mishkan. And he took it outside when the Mishkan was still online. Okay. What about Higdishim Shas Edra Bamas? It's Gilgal now, right? So the Bamas are Mutan, he puts aside an animal right now with the intent of doing it outside, which is perfectly fine at this point. But Shas Edra Bamas. By the time he got around to it, the Bamas became Asr. Times changed. And he was Vikrivim Shas Edra Bamas Bachus. He took it outside in any case. There's a say and a leis say, but there's no kares. Veichol and kares, no kares. Okay, so we learn from Sukkim Rashi brings that there's still an isser. Do it outside, but there's no kares. What about Higdisha Mishas Israel? Bomas Arasr. Now he's Magdash Akar. Presumably meant for the Mishkan, right? By the time he got around to do it, there's no more Mishkan. And the Bomas are activated again. But the Krifin takes this same carbon. And he's makrav it outside, Bishas Hetrabba, and the Bomas are Mutter. Shas Hetrabba. Is it Mutter? No. No, because once the animal was designated, was labeled, and meant for the Mishkan, you can't just take it outside, even though currently there is no Mishkan. There's an assay, right, against doing so. But there's no lois assay, there's no curse. Because after all, the lois assay and the curse relate to the moment of shechita, which currently is technically permissible. There's no isur bamis. But since the animal had been designated for the Mishkan, you got to take it to the Mishkan. Okay, now when we speak about the bum as being, you know, an alternate place for akrava, what kind of karbon is? You can take any karbon on the bum? Ve'elu kachim kraven b'mishkan. So the following karbon is must be brought to the mishkan. Let's say it's Gilgal time, right? We have a public bum. And you can do it at your private bum. But the following need to be taken to the public bum specifically. Even though, theoretically, you have your own bum. But these are meant for the public. Why? Ve'elu kachim kraven b'mishkan, kachim sheik hukdashu l'mishkan. Because when he was magdashim, he designated it for the Mishkan. Okay, that's number one. So that has to go to the Mishkan. Or karbonis sibur, likewise public karbonis. Rashi says, stam on the Mishkan, or the Mishkan, they meant for the Mishkan. You can't do it in your backyard, kraven b'mishkan. And also the karbonis hayachid, but as opposed to the karbonis hayachid, private karbonis b'bama, could be done at your bama. What about karbonas hayachad shehugdush ulemishkan? Your own private, karbon that you would magdish for the sake of the mishkan. You're kivu b'mishkan. As we said a minute ago, you meant to do it at the mishkan as per your intention. But after the fact, but the evidence, kivu b'bam, if you did it privately, he's potter. But as Rashi points out, you shouldn't be doing that. So there's no punishment, and the karbon is kosher, but the fact is, you promised. You committed to bring it to the bigger image, the more official, formal place. You got to follow your, you got to keep your word, right? Kashan Radarta, Tishma Vasisa, right? As per your promise. Technically, it's okay on account of the carbon, but you have not fulfilled your obligation completely. Okay, now, in terms of differentiations, suppose it was legal to bring a carbon at the Bama Gdoila, the Bama Ktana. Any differences in terms of the process, in terms of the form of service, in terms of requirements? What's the difference between the Mizbech that was, in Gilgal and Neuve Givain, the public mizbech as opposed to the private mizbech in your backyard. Ma bin b'mas yochad, b'mas tibur. Many differences. Smicha. The halacha that the owner leans on the animal, that only applies to b'mas tibur. Shechita safon, the halacha that you shech the kachik kadashim in the north. Matan saviv. So in terms of applying the blood, right, you apply it on the two, opposite corners of the diagonally opposite corners of the Mizbeach. You don't do that in the private Bama, you just do one application with Nufa, waving the carbon material of the Menachis. Valgasha, contacting the corner of the Mizbeach. This only apply in a public setting, not in a private arrangement. Says based on the Psukim, you don't bring a Mincha in a Bama setting at all, even a public Bama. Okay, so unless it's a Beis HaMikdash or it's a Mishkan like Shiloh, right? You don't bring a Mincha, not in Gilgal, not in Neuve Givain, certainly not in a private Bama. Any other difference between a public Bama or a private Bama? Yeah, V'kiyun. Does a Kain have to do the Avodah? Only in a public Bama, not in a private setting. B'gdei Sharis, wearing the special attire. Avikon, Klei Sharis, the holy vessel. V'rech Mechoyach. So if it's in a public doyla, you have to take it straight on the Mizbeach and burn it. You can't just roast it first and then put it on the Mizbeach. It has to generate that pleasant odor on the Mizbeach itself, but that only applies to a public bama, Mechitz L'damim. In a bama doyla, there is that sort of divider between the upper part of the Mizbeach and the lower part, in terms of placement of the blood on the wall of the Mizbeach. V'richot Zodam Raglayim, rinsing the hands and feet, that only applies to bama doyla. Aval, but regarding the following halachis, they apply equally all around. Hazman, time, expiration dates. Right? So Rashi says, this relates to the halacha of pigul. He had a mind to do the offering in a week's time, becomes pigul. That applies to Bamuk Deilu Bamuk Tam. Vanoisar, leftovers, right? Past the deadline. Vatame, a person whose tame being involved, whether in terms of being makriv, in terms of eating the karbanis. These restrictions, these halacha, these surim, apply equally to a bama gdaila, public bama, even a private bama, shavim bezevus. Okay, let's just summarize the Shlichul Gemara and the Yadi Mishnah. So we spoke about the halacha of Shechet Amal B'chut only applies to a carbon which is suitable, as opposed to something which had been rejected, something which is unsuitable because of inherent deficiency, a mum, or whether it's a matter of the wrong timing. And that Rav Shimon disagrees. He says if it still has potential to become roi in the future, there's a lay sasay, although there's no curse. But there is a leisa say. We continue and spoke about various carbon materials. There's no din of ma'ala b'chutz on that. Various types of activities, of akrav activities, which are not deemed liable for ma'ala b'chutz. We spoke about the sort of back and forth thing. Sometimes the bamis were mutter, in which case there was no issue bringing a carbon out there. And sometimes bamis were aser, notably when there was a mishkan, when there was a mishkan shiloh, when there was a beis hamikdash. In those times, the halacha of shechet malachutz is activated in full swing, full force. We learned about some variations, karbanos that were hukdash at this point and makrav at that point. So sometimes there's a leis say, an asay leis say, and kares. Sometimes it's just an asay and a leis say. And sometimes there's only an essay, and sometimes it's just a matter of keeping your word, but the carbon is still kosher. And then we spoke about the difference between the Bamuk Doila and Bamuk Tana, and then we have the common denominators, which are Zman, Neser, and Tami. All the best to you, and Atzlach Rab.